Welcome to the Rechoice Podcast.
You have made it. Welcome to the Rechoice Podcast, a place to listen again, choose wisely, and live joyfully. My name is Joe Pellerito. This is episode 29. It's another double word day, rewrite and reboot. At the Rechoice Pod, you get to hear from a variety of people who have something in common, a reflective and resilient mindset. There are three basic steps to rechoice. One, name the experience. Two, select a rechoice word. And three, tell us how it frames your perspective. You can read more at rechoicepod.com, but now it's time for the show. I am ecstatic to share this timely episode with psychotherapist and New York Times best-selling author Flip Flippin about your story, listeners. Flip had an indelible impact on me 15 years ago when I first attended a Capturing Kids' Hearts training. It forever changed the way I teach, live, and learn. And for the past 30 years, the Flippin Group uses research-based tools and processes combined with expert coaching and training to help bring transformation to the teams they serve. Well, who's that? Well, that includes school districts, Fortune 500 companies, governments, sports teams, nonprofit corporations from around the world, including my son's school district of Kentwood Public Schools. That's quite a resume, but what most impresses me about Flip is his heart, and I know you're going to hear it in this conversation. All right, good afternoon, Flip. Come on in. Can I get you some iced tea?
Hey, I'm good, Joe. It's good to be with you, man. Really.
Do you like sweet or unsweet?
I'm good. Just water's good for me.
Okay, good. Well, Flip, thank you so much for accepting this invitation. I'm really honored you're here. I mean, to be having a one-on-one conversation with you from 1,200 miles away, that really is another gift that you're giving today.
Well, it's a treat. It really is, Joe. You've been a friend for a good many years, and it's a real joy to get to be with you, so thank you.
Well, and you notice I said another gift. I mean, the way you serve, the processes you've shared, the messages you've written on me and so many others, those are gifts too.
Well, it's a mutual deal, believe me.
Well, hey, you know how we're going to start things, right? Tell me something good. What's something that made you smile today?
Let's see. I've had some great calls today. Been on the phone with London, been on the phone with some State Board of Education and members, and I've just had a great time. So a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. I'm totally pumped about what's going on in education right now. I mean, it's a crazy, insane, terrible, horrible, wonderful time.
I love that.
Yeah, it is.
And the cool thing is we get to choose on that. So which one of those adjectives? Well, hey, my good thing is I got to bike 25 miles this morning. I'm working my way up. You know, Chris Layton, he's quite the bike rider, and I'm working on my first century 100 mile race on July 4th. So that's going to be a good time for me.
Well, put some padding on that seat because I have. Not a fun thing.
Definitely part of the endurance for sure. So, well, hey, Flip, at the Rechoice Podcast, you know, it's three basic steps. Choose a rechoice word, pick an experience, and then tell us how it frames that. But before we do that, we're going to play a game because we play games around here too. Okay, Flip? So,
I have no idea what you're doing to me. So, I guess.
I know. So, but I promise you, you're going to pass this test because these are quiz questions that the audience probably doesn't know, but that you will. I'm pretty sure anyway. And you can tell us how you know that. So here we go.
All right. Well, what's the topic? What's the topic?
Oh, it's across the board. And let's just say I had some help from Susan and Karen Gorski.
So. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm in trouble. All right.
So here we go. Flip, question one. We know you're an author, but do you know the author of the following books? In the Shadow of Man, Reason for Hope, A Spiritual Journey, Africa in My Blood, and perhaps the giveaway, My Life with Chimpanzees. Who is that author?
Well, it'd probably be Jane Goodall if I were guessing, but
ding, 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 you got it right. You know, and she's an author of over 40 books. She's still alive too. She's 86.
I know. I actually know Jane, Joe. So, well, you know, we had a history together many years ago. She's a good bit older than me, but we had a history through Dr. Leakey, Lewis Leakey. So that was a great question. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. And I mean, what do you love about, well, I heard that you were invited to work with her early on in your career. Is that true?
Yeah, actually, it was invited to work with Dr. Leakey. Jane was going to Gombe, and I was going to Kenya to work on parallel projects. And that's when I really got involved with Gang Kids and that sort of thing. It was, you know, I was finishing graduate program, my grad program, and she was already out of hers and starting her research. And she worked with Dr. Leakey, and he invited me to head a project in Kenya. And I instead opted to work with Gang Kids, and I still think I came out ahead on the deal.
Well, and certainly you have visited the continent of Africa a few times. What do you love about Africa?
Oh, I love everything. You know, of course, it's a continent, so it's not like a lot of people think the country, but, you know, I've been to Namibia and Botswana, Zambia, Zimbabwe, South Africa. I love the people and I love the bush and I love the ecosystems, Joe. There's a lot there to be learned. There's some phenomenal parallels in, you know, if you talked about trauma-informed care, you talk about how ecosystems suffer, you talk about the connectedness, and we were just over there darting and collaring giraffes and rhinos and lions, and that was just a unbelievable experience, what, tracking any poaching teams and the conservation. So I had a great time. Thanks for asking that.
Oh, you bet. So you passed question one. Here comes question two. Flip, we know you've studied a lot of psychology. I mean, that's your background, but which of the following, and don't answer right away if you know it, okay? Which of the following is the study of bugs? A, aristology. B, bromatology. C, carpology. D, dendrochronology. Or E, entomology.
Oh, it's entomology, man. Come on. It's the study of bugs. You know, I got 16 hours in that crazy stuff. I can actually name the family of every bug in the United States. And it's knowledge that's really, really useful in my field.
Well, hey, you know, what is it about bugs that you find so fascinating?
I have no idea. I had a great prof, Joe. I kid you not. I think you fall in love with a subject because the prof is in love with the subject and knows how to teach it. I mean, I'm studying quantum physics right now. There's a guy that I love his work, and Lewin, L-E-W-I-N, and it's, you know, why, what the heck do I care about quantum physics? But it's just, it's beautiful. You know, great teacher, and I mean, you're going to be enjoying it.
Well, and that's why I changed my major to history. It was the same thing. You find the right person, and you, whatever they're talking about, you want to know more about it. So,
yep.
You know, have you seen A Bug's Life?
Have I seen what?
A Bug's Life. It's a movie.
A Bug's Life.
A Bug's Life.
Yeah, about 7,452 times.
Well, you know, I love that because the main character, Ant, reminds me of you. I mean, he's inventive. He's an entrepreneur. And I mean, come on, his name is Flick. So.
Yeah. When you've got kids and grandkids, you watch A Bug's Life. You really do.
Well, and just so you know, those other choices in the quiz question, you have connections to too. Aristology, study of cooking and dining. In fact, I want to know, do you know what it means to sous vide?
Actually, I do. It's a water bath cooking in a vacuum sealed bag and rough temperature for chickens, 165, and for, you know, what do you,
Oh, yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Another one, dendrochronology, that's the study of rings of trees. And so I just want to know, what do you like about being outside?
You know, you come alive. I mean, Joe, it's crazy. I, you know, I grew up in the outdoors. I've always been an outdoorsman. I'm an avid outdoorsman. I love backpacking and everything about it. I mean, you learn more about life and diversity, and it's interesting even to talk about diversity today with some of the things going on in our country. But when you think about diversity and you look at how all these things fit together so beautifully in nature, and yet it's still a very competitive and harsh environment in many ways, but it comes to balance, it works. And, you know, I love that. Our country is really trying to find that right now.
I love that connection there. And you know, I love, even just in two quiz questions here, Flip, we're getting to know something about you that maybe we wouldn't know otherwise. So we're got a final quiz question here for you. Okay. You are a lifelong student and teacher for sure. Which of the following though is not true? A, you've learned to parasail. B, you've learned to blacksmith. C, you've taught others how to rappel. And D, you've taught others how to sail.
Yeah, I haven't done parasailing yet. you know, what I wanted to do was windsurfing, and Susan nixed that here about 4 years ago. So parasail has been off the deal.
Susan won't let you, huh?
Nope. Sailing, blacksmithing, you know, rappelling, climbing, all that stuff is, those are great outdoor events.
Well, hey, Flip, that was fun. I love hearing some of the backstories, and I need to thank Susan and Karen. Thank you so much for the details for some of those questions. So that was great. Thank you.
Well, Joe, you've officially established that I'm weird, so that's about it.
So. Hey, I'm a part of that club, too. So, hey, we've come to the main event, though, the big story. It is time for you to reveal your rechoice word. So, Flip. Flippin', what is your rechoice word?
Well, I think probably rewrite and reboot. You know, I like those two. They've got a lot of meaning.
All right, I love it. So it's a double word day today, listeners. Rewrite and reboot. You know, I started our quiz question saying you're an author of many books, but the truth is we have a lot of authors listening right now. We're all writing stories, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, we really are. The question is, are you intentionally writing that story, and are you writing the story that you really want to write?
So, hey, that's a perfect lead. And tell us about your most recent book that you wrote with Dr. Chris White, your third story. And in short, can you give us a picture of the first, second, and third? But then we'll go into detail after that.
Yeah. Thanks for asking that, Joe. This will be really fun talking to you about it. But you know, if I said, Joe, tell me about where you're born and grew up and all that kind of stuff. Well, everybody'd start off with, well, I was born here and these were my parents and I went to school here and I did these things and I was in these activities and et cetera. And that is part of your life for sure. It's a very crucial part of your life, but you did not write that story. So that's not your story. It's part of your life, but it's not your story. I didn't pick my parents. I didn't pick my school. Honestly, I didn't even pick the sports. I mean, I got encouragement and support and found out I was good at certain things and not good at others. But you know, I didn't write that story. A lot of that story was written for me. And so that's your first story. And then somewhere in early adolescence, Joe, it's an interesting time, and all of us go through it. There are no exceptions, but we start telling ourselves different things to make us okay. And that's our second story. And the problem with that second story is that some of it's true, but a bunch of it isn't true. And there's some great examples of that kind of thing. But here's the catch, is most people get stuck in that second story, and they don't know how to get out of that second story. You know, what it does is that for example, I mean, I could just tell you one really quick, but
sure.
You know, when I was finishing my grad program, I got invited to Ivy League college to finish my doctorate, and I'd given a talk in Washington, and And so the gentleman that headed the department came up to me and asked if I'd consider transferring from A&M to their university. And it's, you know, it's one of the most prestigious schools in the world. And I was beyond thrilled. And, I mean, who gets that opportunity? And, you know, several years later, a buddy of mine from younger in life said, "So, Flip, how was your time at, you know, XYZ school?" And I was like, "Well, you know, that was a great opportunity, et cetera, but I decided not to go." And he's like, "What?" And of course, then, Joe, you know, because I'm so profoundly wise, I shared my five reasons why I didn't go. And he looked at me and he said, "You're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot. Do you believe that?" And of course, my default was, "Golly, he must not have understood my very good reasons for not going," you know. And honestly, Joe, as I was telling him, I was 27 years old, and as I was telling him, it was dawning on me that what Nelson was asking me was so straightforward, but what he was telling me was so true. I didn't want to hear it. And he just said, "You know, you're an idiot. That's a bunch of bull. I mean, those are not good reasons for not doing that." But see, here's what we do. We tell ourselves a story. And then once we believe it, we take it for a walk with some of our friends. And of course, they agree. You know, I didn't ask that girl out because, you know, I had a baseball game that night. Well, you don't have a baseball game every night. You know, well, I didn't try out for this sport because, you know, I was really committed to my grades. Well, that couldn't have been further from the truth. And so, you know, we make excuses and we tell ourselves stories. And then we stay stuck in those stories and we end up living a life much smaller than what it could be. And when I saw that I was doing that, I thought, you know, there are tons of people doing this, which led me then to the possibility of there being a third story. And how do you write that story? Where do you begin? And what could it look like? And so I've written a pretty fun third story for myself. And
yes, you have. And I mean, those five chapters from the second story, how great that you had a truth teller to say, I don't believe those five chapters. It's time for something else. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what are some of those core questions of a third story?
Well, you know, the first place that I think you start is to look at your second story. Mm-hmm. and just pick something. Just pick something. I was talking with some high school kids recently, and I just asked them. I said, "Guys, y'all are in your second story right now. So just pick something where you just flat out tell yourself a story." And one of the young men, a really talented young kid, and he said, "Well, I told myself that I didn't want to play football anymore because I really wanted to focus on baseball." And I was like, "All right, how's that not true?" And he said, "Well, what happened is I was on a return team and I got hit and it snapped my leg. I had a compound fracture and candidly, it terrified me. I don't play football because I'm afraid of it." And I was like, "Well, that's great. That's great insight." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Did that hurt?" And he said, "Well, it makes me not the hero I want to be." And I said, "Hey, you know, a compound fracture, I get that. So where else might you be telling yourself a story?" And then he literally said, "Well, there's a college I want to go to, but I just don't think I'd get in." And I was like, I get it. I get it. And Joe, let me back up and tell you something. Yeah. Do you know why I did not go to that Ivy League college?
Tell us. I mean, I'm guessing there was some kind of lie in there.
There was. You know, one, it was too far away, and my family didn't want me to leave, and, you know, and I didn't have clothes for that area, and I'd never been out of Texas, and, you know, those are good reasons to not go, and everybody knows a doctorate from A&M is just as good, and those were my reasons. But the real reason was I got out of high school fourth from the bottom of my class. And I got into college on probation, and I was on and off probation five times. Everybody on this call is smarter than me, and I'm totally comfortable with that. But, you know, the reality is why would I go to a major Ivy League college and let everybody figure out in front of the whole world that I'm a fraud, that I'm not smart enough, I'm not capable, I'm not good enough, I'm totally inadequate, and you know, why would I risk that? I'm not going to risk that. I'm going to stay where I am because it's good where I am. I'm safe where I am. And that works.
I think of the path of least resistance, right? I mean, there was a quote that you said recently. I don't know if you remember, but it was actually, I want to say a podcast from a few weeks ago, but it was, "My life has been full of misfortunes. Most of them have never happened."
Yeah,
I just love that.
Well, actually, Joe, that's a quote from Mark Twain.
Is it really?
Okay. Yeah. And you know, it's totally true. You know, we live in our imagination and in our fears, and I just think there's a bigger place. So I moved out of that spot. I didn't want to live in that neighborhood.
And so, you know, is that part of then? Tell us about emotionally compelling stories or emotionally compelling reasons. We're transferring to that third story right now.
Well, it's a beautiful segue. So what we do, one, is we tell ourselves stories. So you want to find out at least one or two things where you just flat lie to yourself about stuff. And once you can see it, then you start saying, wow, okay, I see how I do that. Now, where else do I do that? But here's the thing, Joe, and it's a fascinating thing. We started working with this concept literally about 30 years ago. But people don't change without an emotionally compelling reason. They do not change without an emotionally compelling reason. And I hear people all the time, well, just tell me what I need to do and I'll do it. Yeah, that's not true. I mean, that's so not true. That is not true. It sounds good. You'll get a little blip on the scale, but you won't stay different. You won't change. And people say, well, give me the reasons or give me the facts or give me the information. It's like we're not as rational as we like to lie to ourselves about. We're emotional beings. And so when you find an emotionally compelling reason to change something, you will. I have a friend of mine whose daughter was getting married, and the next thing I know is she starts showing up, and she's looking better and in shape and working out and rowing like 70,000 miles a day. I'm like, good Lord. You know, now, do you think she needed to get in shape before her daughter was getting married? I mean, of course she did. But what happened, she had an emotionally compelling reason. You know, I had a heart attack many, many years ago when I was young, and, you know, it's an emotionally compelling reason. I mean, that's why people change. So find that reason. You know, if I speak harsh to my wife and I see it breaks her heart, that's an emotionally compelling reason. If you love your kids and you're an impatient, low self-control person, just look at what it's doing to your children. Look at the hurt it causes your children. And find an emotionally compelling reason. And once you find that, now what you need is a plan.
Yeah, and that emotional compelling, that I heard a phrase recently called cognitive commitment. You know, I can hear the knowledge, I can hear the reasons, but until I'm really drawn into it, you know, it's the context. You know, it's the context that matters more than what it is I'm going to do, right? The context that more than the content, you know? So tell me or tell us really, what are some of the questions then that really guide us to find that?
To find the emotionally compelling reason?
Yeah. Like what are the, you know, here I am on my third story. I've got a blank page here in front of me. What are some of those questions?
Well, so there's a couple of ways you can get to that. One is that if you're reflective and or even remotely self-aware or socially aware, you'll have situations that come to mind real quick. I mean, I remember years ago on the back porch, Susan, you know, my wife is CEO of our companies, and you know, we get along great. We work together great. I'm crazy in love with her, and you know, we've got a huge family, and I mean, all of that kind of stuff. But I also get frustrated when things don't happen at the pace I think they ought to happen. You know, I'm a serial social entrepreneur, and I really think that we should have been able to change at least half the world yesterday. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the whole deal, but, and I was, you know, spun up about something that wasn't working as fast as I wanted it. And, you know, and I just, you know, I was so self-absorbed, Joe, it was terrible. And I looked over at her and, I mean, I'd broken her heart. And I will never, as long as I live, and I don't mind sharing it. I think it's good for people to know the authenticity of people and what makes their lives work. And I just looked over at her and her eyes were filled with tears. And I was, I everything in me wanted to say, what the heck's wrong? I mean, we're just talking about business. And I'll never, ever forget it. I mean, she just said, I've given you everything. I've given you my talents, my time, my effort. I left my position as president of a huge company. You know, I've helped build an amazing organization. I've given you my love, my passion, my body, my heart. I mean, good gracious, when's it enough? And, you know, Joe, it, I mean, candidly, it broke my heart. And I remember standing there thinking, why would I do this? You know, what is wrong with you, Flippin?
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think about, you know, who's your who? Well, Susan is your who.
Yeah, she is.
And to see that, I mean, that's a core, that creates an emotionally compelling reason right there.
Yes, it did. To see that. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And I talked with a gentleman recently. He's you know, I certainly would never name him, but he's a multi-billionaire and globally known, et cetera. And when I was talking to him, I made a comment about if he were a better businessman. And he's like, my gosh, Flip, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, you know, if you were a better businessman. And he's like, so what do I have to do? And kind of, you know, teasing me. And I was like, well, let me borrow your phone. And he's like, what do you need my phone for? And I said, well, just let me borrow your phone. And he handed it to me. And I said, let's call your wife real quick. And he's like, I can't do that. You know, I can't do that. And I was like, yeah, I do. It's your third marriage. You've wiped out your complete estate twice, 40% both times. I said, that's not good business. I said, let's call your daughter. And of course, then, you know, Joe, it's very emotional. And he's like, she hadn't talked to me in 3 years. I know. I know. You're a butt. I mean, you're very difficult. You're hard on people. You're not kind or thoughtful towards people. And I said, let's call her and leave a message. And I dialed her number. And he's literally like, oh, my gosh, what do I say? And I said, ask her forgiveness. And we left a message. And he did that every week for the next several weeks. And finally she called. And, you know, we need an emotionally compelling reason. And when we've got that, then now you've got what you need to take those first steps. So it works.
Yeah. So those listeners, in the book, I mean, some of those core questions that Flip's really hitting right now, you know, what is it that you want? And maybe another way to phrase it, Flip, what do you think of the question of what don't you want? You know, what don't you want? Go ahead, Flip.
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, Joe, because I've just been working, you know, with the State Board of Education on rewriting some of the requirements there. And let me just give you a thought. If somebody said, you know, I don't want to be poor. Well, first off, that's not a goal. Second, it's not a plan. And it's danger, not a strategy. And so saying, I don't want to be poor, it doesn't do anything for you. But being able to say, you know what? I would like to be able to have a family. I'd like to have a home. I would like to be able to help my kids get started in school. You know, tell me what you want. And the more you know what you want and the more you can define it, then now we need a plan. I mean, I can, believe me, Job, I guarantee you, I can teach you how to get where you want to go. And I don't care who's listening on this call. I can teach you how to get where you want to go. You just have to decide, what is it that you really want and why do you want it? You know, if you want something that has candidly very little value, like I have people say, well, I want to be rich. And my next question is why? I mean, why do you want to be rich? And then they'll say, well, I want to buy a fancy car or a plane or a boat or whatever. My next question, why do you want a plane? Why would you want a boat? Why would you, you know, get that sorted out so that what you want in life has the highest value. And that can't be just centered around things. There's nothing to me more shallow than somebody in the pursuit of things in their life.
Flip, our teammate, Joy Sparks, she wanted me to ask you this. And so I'm going to use one of those core questions. I mean, there's a lot of things you could be doing right now, Flip. So what's your why right now?
My why is I love people. I love people, Joe, and I love kids, and I love being able to help kids design and intentionally pursue the future that they really want. That's really what I'm after. You take kids that are like, you know, I want to be married. Nah, anybody can get married. Let's talk about that. Well, okay, like what? I said, well, you want to be happily married. You want to be really richly married. You want to have depth in your marriage. You want to get along. You want to be a great partner. You want to be a great teammate. I mean, let's talk about what kind of marriage do you really want? What kind of relationships do you want? You know, who do you want to spend your life with? I mean, I'm sitting here right now with Sean Murphy and Karen Gorski. I've got you on this call. You guys are people I love, that I respect immensely. Why would I not spend my time with y'all? So yeah, that's it. that's what turns me on.
No, I love it. And so now we're going to, so that's been great for the rewrite portion. We're going to start transferring a little bit to the reboot part. And I'll tell you what, Flip, you got me the other day. We were on a group Zoom and you asked something like, raise your hand if stress causes disease and unrest and lack of sleep and negative outcomes. And I raised my hand. I mean, and this is the guy who has the Rechoice podcast, who is all about choosing different and all. You know? So, I mean, do you remember what you then reminded us of?
Yes, of course I do.
Okay, tell us.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting because, and it comes back, we'll tie it back to the words you brought up. But, you know, like right now, if I just said, okay, how many of y'all feel like stress causes anxiety and depression and neuroses and sleeplessness and lowers your immune system and makes you drink too much or eat too much or sleep in too late? You know, pretty much everybody says that, but they're thinking about the negative impacts of stress in their life. But here's the catch, Joe, is that negative thoughts equals negative outcomes. And I look at this time and I don't look at it that way. And I've asked hundreds and hundreds of people this, but you see, there's a thing called eustress, E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S. And eustress is the positive side of stress. It causes you to be focused and energized and pumped up and creative, and you're trying to solve problems. I mean, think about if you played sports, think about pre-game stuff. I mean, it's stressful. Oh, no, it's energizing. It's exciting. It's challenging. Are you wound up? Oh, for sure. You know, now if it gets to be too much and you hit a breaking point, it becomes distress. And so to me, the question is, how do you grow somebody's capacity for stress? And you can grow it, but there's only one way. Well, actually, there's two parts to it. One is that you've got to be in situations that cause that. Nobody ever grows in their comfort zone. I mean, if you're comfortable, let me promise you, you are not growing. And so you can either put yourself in an uncomfortable situation and push that growth internally, or circumstances outside of you will put you in that situation. You think some of these pro athletes right now, we've just finished a bunch of webinars on spring training with Brad McCoy. And it's fascinating talking to these pro athletes when they can't work out, they can't do spring training, but they're stressing themselves because of the benefit that they get from that. And the same is true for us right now. And so to do that, what you do is you get control over your thinking. We're doing all kinds of crazy, fun, innovative things right now. And yes, our revenue plummeted in March. And then it went lower in April. And May was even worse. And roughly estimated 16 to 30 million people have lost their jobs, and we've got disease, and I'm in a risk category, and blah, blah, blah. I understand all that, and I care about that, and I have compassion about that, but I cannot stay in a depressed or upset state, Joe. I'm just not going to do it. It's not productive. It doesn't produce outcomes.
Yeah. Part of the reason why we really created this podcast is we see people on repeat, you know, instead of rechoice. And how long do you want to stay? I mean, and so like some of the students I've had, and I know you've had, that come from a background of trauma, right? There's some of them, they're really old souls. You know, I would never wish trauma on anybody. But at the same time, you see some people who, yes, we hear post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm really interested in what I've heard of as post-traumatic growth. And that's what I think we're after here.
Exactly. Like right now, everything in the world ground to a halt. I mean, it's impossible for us to find any other time in history, because it does not exist, when the entire world ground to a halt. I mean, 9/11, you know, we grounded airplanes last month. We stopped the entire world. And so you look at that, it's like, so what do you do with that? So, of course, that brings me to my second word. can we use that word?
Please do. And thank goodness we get a third story, right? It's not, our second story is not our third story. And it's not even just as individuals, but as a country and as a school system, you know, for example. So yeah, let's change gears. Tell us about the word reboot.
Yeah. So, I'm not a techie, and I would get so tickled with Will in our company. Will would always say, well, you need to reboot that. And I was like, what the heck's that mean? I don't even know what you're talking about. And he said, you know, do a hard stop. And I'd be like, I don't know what a hard stop is. Here's the deal is that when I'd reboot it, that dang thing would run faster. It'd run better. I could do searches quickly. I have my files I could open, my calendar. And, you know, I sit down with Will and it's like, hey, what the heck does this do? And he said, well, here's the thing is that just over time, you just get junk in the system. And you get these little viruses, you get other things, you got apps running that shouldn't be running. They're not helpful anymore, but they're kind of running and they're just slowing down everything. Well, I look at schools. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. We've got so much stuff that goes on in education that we should not be doing. It's not good for teachers. It's not good for students. Well, if it's not good for teachers and students, how in the world could it be good for education? And so I look at that, and so we just stop school, completely stop school, send them all home. And we don't say go to school anymore. We say to the school, come to the kids. And so instantly everybody had to reboot. They had the same customers, they got the same staff, but their product, their processes, their delivery all changed. And look at this. They're figuring this out. I mean, they've rebooted. So to me, what we're trying to do right now is figure out what's not working. And when we reboot this system, I mean, you're really starting it over. but it gives you the opportunity to start it over without all the junk you've had to deal with in the past. And it lets you think really, I mean, creatively, differently, in excited ways, new ideas, putting concepts together, teams together that you never thought of.
If we want to, right? I mean, this is a refining moment that's really forced our
yep.
hand. And we can, in the fall, I mean, I think we come back better. You know, what are some things we choose to let go of and things that we've learned in the last few months that we need to actually add?
That's right. Yeah, and Joe, candidly, I mean, normal was yesterday. I have no interest in yesterday. I don't live in yesterdays. I want to live in the future. And I want to be thinking, what can I do tomorrow to be better at my craft than I was today? And the crazy thing is, I mean, you know that in the last 22 to 25 years, I've not gone 15 days without getting on an airplane. And so you think about the millions of miles that I've flown, and I've got the little badges to prove it, that I'm not doing that right now. And we're still getting business done. I mean, I've talked just in the last few days. I mean, I've talked to people from all over the world. I've got a call this afternoon with New Zealand, and I started out this morning with London. And I didn't get on a plane. I didn't travel. I didn't waste the time. I wasn't away from my family. I dang sure didn't have to get dressed up for it. You know, things are different. It's a reboot. This is a complete reboot. And I totally believe we're going to be faster. We're going to be better. We're stronger than we ever thought we were. We're better than we ever dreamed we could be. So let's figure it out.
I love it. That's a great attitude. And I mean, and no matter if, and we're talking about schools right now, but really, I think this applies to organizations, families, businesses, everybody. What is it that we want to leave in the second story? What were some of the lies that we were believing about the way things run? So, Flip, is there anything else you want our listeners to know?
Well, you know, I was thinking about Africa then for a minute. You know that it's just us and one group of baboons that stresses over stress?
Uh-huh. I mean, wait a minute. Yeah, you got to spell that out a little bit more. What do you mean?
Well, Homo sapiens. In one particular group of baboons, the only two species that stress out over stress. We stress over stress. I mean, it's stuff that hadn't even happened yet. And we lay awake getting anxious about it. And so it's, to me, Joe, yes, I know these are painful times. And our company has been massively hit. And we've got 500 families that depend on us getting it right. And I can tell you, I don't know that we're going to get it right, but I do know that we're going to be the best we can be. We're going to give it the best we've got. And I can tell my team that every day. We can tell each other that. And we're going to make mistakes. I mean, like just like school right now, nobody got it right. I guarantee you, when we started doing online education, we did not get it right. And that is totally okay.
As I've said to some teachers in the last several weeks, whatever you have been doing, that was good enough for these weeks, right? Meaning like it's hard not to, we can't solve everything right now, but we have stepped through it and we're learning from it for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're totally right, Joe. That to me is the beauty of it. And that's the beauty to me of what we've seen, especially as it relates to education. For the first time, I mean, literally, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but for the first time, I think every parent in America is looking around thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful for teachers. And I had no idea what they did. I have no idea how they do it. I mean, I can't even comprehend it. And I look at the kids, and every kid I've talked to has been, gosh, I wanted to go back to school before the end of the year, and I can't wait for school to start. Now, that's not because the little rascals are running around thinking, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to get an education. It's because we're social creatures. We crave being together. And I see teachers that are, I was with one last week. She literally sat there quietly, tears running down her face, talking about how much she missed her kids. And when they went home from spring break, they never came back. She didn't get to hug them goodbye. She didn't get to tell them how much she loved them and missed them and believed in them. And I mean, that to me is the beauty, is that this time we're seeing families that are spending more time than they've ever spent together. I'm spending more time with Susan than I've had ever in our marriage, and I've cherished every minute of it. Kids are, they're missing their friends. Colleagues are missing their workmates. Our country is realizing how grateful we can be for so many of the things that we really have been missing.
Which makes it that much sweeter when we're back together, you know?
Yeah, it's precious.
Hey, I've also heard it said on our team, and to wrap things up here, Flip, you know, I love this. Write your story, edit often, have a great ending, right? Yeah. And we're in the pattern of that. I do have one last question, though. It comes from Ron Fox, our friend Ron.
Oh, boy.
And as we learned in the quiz, you've been to many places, met many people. But and besides parasailing, what are one or two other bucket list things that you really want to do or people you really want to meet?
Well, there are thousands of people that I really want to meet. And you'd be surprised at who some of them may be. I enjoy visiting with people who work with their hands and do things that serve other people. I mean, I totally enjoy that. And you know, when it comes to things to do, I've got other countries that I want to go to, in Africa in particular, and I want to go deep into the bush and see how they're teaching. And I've done that, Joe, I've done that every year now for, I don't know, maybe 10 straight years. And being deep in a country where there's no power, there's no running water, and you watch how they educate their children is just, it's just amazing to me. Man, so that's probably something nobody think about, but that's something I really look forward to doing.
Well, Flip, I was going to say you've helped to rewrite my story, but that's not true. You have, though. You've given me a pen so that I can write it, and a framework. And this has been a part of the emotionally compelling reason. I mean, if we boiled it down to what we do at the Flippin' Group, it's bringing out the best in people, right? Flip, I just want to say you and our team, you've done that for me. And this podcast, the theme of rechoicing, finding joy and making a new path, I mean, it's like you gave me a gift to open. And I, you know what was inside? Multiple other gifts to give to other people. And there's so much joy that you've unlocked in that giving and watching them discover what's inside. That's what you've done for me. And I really want us to say sincerely thank you, and just thank you for what you've done. I really appreciate it.
Well, Joe, I can't even begin to tell you what a privilege it is to even be associated with our team, let alone to get to be a member. It's just an honor. So thank you for saying that.
All right, everybody, pick up your pen. It's time for you to write your third story. Thank you, Flip.
For sure, Joe. Take care, my friend.
Ooh-cha-ah. You know it's time to reboot. Ooh-cha-ah. You know it's time to rewrite. Excuse me, I'm really excited that I had Flip flipping on the podcast, y'all. That was amazing. So for many of us, we've been trying to get back to normal, but as I've heard Flip's wife Susan say, it's time to get back to better. So I've included a link to the book, Your Third Story, in the show notes. It's a quick and relatable read and will help you to write your third story. Can you clearly answer? What's your what? What's your why? Who's your who? Whose who are you? What's your how? And yes, as Flip says in the book, there will be dragons, so what's your plan? Write your story. Edit often. Make it a great ending. And I say make it yours. So Flip, the truth is this podcast would not exist if I hadn't first learned from you and our incredible team. So thanks for being you. The best 7 years of my teaching career were when I got to teach teen leadership to hundreds of 9th and 12th graders from Kentwood Public Schools and learn from them. Thank you, Flip, for putting that empowering curriculum into my hands and into the hands of middle school and high school teachers all across the country. Listeners, I've included that curriculum, now called Leadworthy, in the show notes as well. You can learn more at flippengroup.com. That's F-L-I-P-P-E-N group.com. Was there something on today's episode that stirred you and might help somebody else? Well, please share it on your social media. This is a time when schools are rebooting right now. Want to pick your own Rechoice word? Go to RechoicePod.com, where you can access all past interviews with our guests and ask a question or offer feedback. Thank you to my son, Danny Pellerito, for writing the music and producing it. In fact, you're hearing that music right now. And listeners, thank you for stopping by. Reframe your past, renew your present, reclaim your future, because after all, it is always a choice. We'll see you next time.